Good morning. Welcome to Island Issues, Friday morning style. I'm Harry Blaylock, along with Louis Tenorio. Good morning, Louis. Oh, I'll tell you what, Friday sounds sweet this morning, doesn't it? It's a great, great day. And this is June 1st, and I can tell that May is gone, because all of a sudden today in history, well, there's some things to talk about. Yeah, it's a few things here. Well, let's go back to a couple of events. 1792, Kentucky became the 15th state. Tennessee followed up in 1796, becoming the 16th state. 1869, Thomas Edison of Boston, Massachusetts, received a patent for his electric voting machine. And here to think we're still using paper and pencil. I don't know, something seems wrong there. But 1925, Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees played the first of what would become 2,130 consecutive baseball games. That means never took a day off. Amazing. He set a major league record that wouldn't be broken until Cal Ripken Jr. of Baltimore did so in 1995. Gehrig wasn't even a starter on that day. He was inserted in the lineup for Wally Pipp. Let's see. One or two more things today in history. Then we'll get into the birthdays. 1967, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was released. You remember any of the songs from that one? Yeah, okay. Take the obvious one. That one works. Okay. 1975, Nolan Ryan of the California Angels tied the no-hit record of Major League Baseball. He tossed his fourth career no-hitter with a 1-0 win over the Baltimore Orioles. And Nolan Ryan, of course, a very famous split-ball pitcher. 1987, knuckleballer Phil Niekro won game number 314 by leading the Indians to a 9-6 win over the Tigers. I always hate it when the Tigers are on the losing end, but what can you say? He and his brother Phil, brother Joe, brought the record to 531 career wins between the two of them, breaking a record set by the Perry brothers. And with that, you ready for a few birthdays? All right, let's see who you remember. 1801, Brigham Young. Mormon? Yep. Okay, good enough. That's all I need to hear. Yeah. What more do you need to say about Brigham Young? So, founder of the Mormon Church, 1921. Here's one's a little tougher for you. Nelson Riddle. Yeah. But shame on you, because it does figure into popular music and recent music. He did a collaboration with Linda Ronstadt a few years ago, and the Nelson Riddle Orchestra backing up Linda Ronstadt. Very, very popular songs in about 1981 or two, and he passed away in 85, so this was right before his death. 1926, Andy Griffith. Yeah, that's the one. Facing the Crowd, No Time for Sergeants, From Here to Eternity. Just a whole slew of shows that he's been in. 1926, Norma Jean Baker Mortensen. Oh, I'm impressed, Louis. Yeah, very good. All right. Some of her movies include Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, The Seven-Year Itch, and, of course, in Playboy, linked to JFK, all kinds of things, and a very untimely death. 1934, Pat Boone. Yep, that's the guy. Love Letters in the Sand is probably his most popular. Married to Red Foley's daughter, Shirley. So, and Pat Boone is also the guy who made a few ripples a few years ago. I don't know if you remember when he dressed up in leather as a heavy metal guy. Yeah. Didn't go over real well. 1940, how about René Auberjonois? You know, I never get this guy's last name right. Auberjonois. Yeah, I don't know. He's in Benson. Benson, MASH, Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Mrs. Miller, quite a few others. 1947, Ron Wood. Yeah, that's the guy. He's the guitarist for the Stones. And boy, he looks like he's lived a hard life. 1949, Powers Booth. Yeah. Okay. He's an actor, and the thing that I kind of remember him from is he was in Guiana Tragedy, the story of Jim Jones, back in 1980. And do you remember the Jim Jones cult that went down to Guiana and all the Kool-Aid thing? Well, after being in that, who really wants Jim Jones to be in your movie? So that was, you know, his career didn't really go anywhere after that, unfortunately. 1956, Lisa Hartman. Yeah. Really? You don't know Lisa Hartman? Oh. She's a hottie, but Knott's Landing, Bare Essentials, Deadly Blessing, Red Wing, but also married to Clint Black. Country singer? Okay. And I think I've got one song for you today. No, I've got two songs for you. 1968, I'm going to take you back away. First one is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That was from a movie, theme from a movie. Hugh Montenegro, very good. Okay, yeah. And do you remember Yummy, Yummy, Yummy? Okay. Ohio Express. Wow, a day that I actually stumped you. That's a rarity. That's just because I wasn't giving you any. All right, I'll give you an easier one. 1976. How about Get Up and Boogie? Yeah. You're going to have to sing the whole thing if you can't come up with the composer or the singer. No. Brothers Johnson, that's Strawberry Letter 23 you're thinking of, yeah. This is Silver Connection. Yeah. Yep, that's true. All right, I'll let you off the hook with that one, and let's get busy with our guests in studio this morning. I have Walt Goodridge with me. Good morning, Walt.
Morning, Harry.
It's good to have you in studio once again.
Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
How long has it been? A little over a year, I guess,
huh? Yes, 15 months about.
Okay, it's
been
a while.
First time on Saipan, February of 2006.
Okay, and you kind of have a unique story. Tell me how you wound up on Saipan.
Well, since we have limited time, I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
A friend of mine who I had music industry involvement with years ago, he mm-hmm. visited Japan to do some music industry work, some production. The people who he was working with invited him to Saipan. He came, had a nice time. I found out about it. In fact, I had never heard about Saipan before December 18th of 2005.
Okay.
But one night, my friend and I were talking. We were in Brooklyn at a Christmas party, and he just started praising, you know, all the fun, all the excitement, all the warmth of the people, all the nice time that he yeah. had here. And I just something clicked in my mind, and based on the way he described it, I decided, hey, this is someplace I want to go. And I actually gave away all my records, picked up from New York, and just moved 8,000 miles across the sea to come check it out and to come start a new life. I was looking to reinvent myself at the time, so Saipan seemed like a nice place to do it. It was still on the U.S. postal system, which is important for my business.
And so, currency. Yeah.
Right, so I jumped across the seas and came here, and I've been here ever since.
How's that working out for you so far?
Yeah, it's great. It's
okay.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So no regrets in moving over here?
None at all. Just challenges.
Yeah, well, we all understand that.
Right.
There's a few of those.
Nothing major, but just yeah. one thing I know I mentioned to you before, I'm vegetarian, and
yeah.
And it is a little bit of a challenge, but not an insurmountable one, being vegetarian here on Saipan.
My wife turned vegetarian after we moved out here on me, mm-hmm. which I looked at as a breach in our wedding vows, but you know, I'm having a hard time upholding that one. But so she goes through the same struggles, but
right.
fortunately for me, there is meat here, and so you know, it kind of balances out and makes it a little more fair for me.
Right, right. But I'm not the only one, so I'm actually working with some
That's
people
true.
On island to, you know, to sort of bring in some of those.
Don't say that. I don't want her to hear that, so that's all I need.
So
it's more vegetarian food. Yeah. All right.
Tell your wife there's hope.
Well, Walt, let's talk a little bit about what you do. And you're kind of an interesting guy because you've taken some ideas and turned that into a way to make money and a way to make a living.
Right. What I do is I help people discover their passion in life and turn it into a business.
Okay.
My own story is I actually went to Columbia University and I majored in civil engineering, but I only ended up in engineering because my counselor in high school said, you're good in math and science, this is what you need to do.
You didn't realize it was such a boring job.
Not at all.
Yeah, okay.
But no offense to any of the engineers out there, I just wasn't cut out for it.
Yeah.
So I ended up in engineering, but I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, whenever I do my workshops, you know, within the first 15 minutes of my first day on the job in corporate America, I realized beyond the shadow of a doubt that I absolutely hated it.
That's a pretty bad realization to come to after all those years of college.
I was in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like the whole concept of working for somebody else. I didn't like the concept of getting up in the morning before I was finished sleeping.
Yeah.
I didn't like the concept of someone telling me what I was worth. And that's a significant thing in that as long as you work for somebody else is deciding what your value is, what your worth is. And that's just something I couldn't relate to. So, to make a long story short, what I did is I jumped out on my own eventually and discovered what my passion was, and mm-hmm. it had to do with the music industry. And incidentally, I know Nelson Riddle, he was around way in the 40s as well as a band leader.
Yep.
But my passion was music, so I started a record label, I managed artists, and I moved from that into writing about the music industry. And there's an interesting story about how the light bulb came on about that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up writing about the music industry, showing other entrepreneurs how to start their own record label, and that morphed also into now showing people in general how to discover the thing that they are good at, the thing that they were put on the planet here to do, and find a way to use that to generate income so that they can make money doing what they love.
Hmm. Okay. Because a lot of people do have something that they really love to do, but very few of them actually make money at it.
Right, exactly. A lot of people undervalue themselves. They don't actually realize that people would pay for the things that they find interesting.
Yeah.
So what I do, one of the main things that I do is actually raise people's belief level by informing them of others who are doing the same thing, giving them some steps, some ways to think about their value themselves, why they're here on the planet, their purpose, the things that they love to do, so that they can move into a new paradigm and actually value the things that they do, but actually look at it now, not just as a pastime, not just as a hobby, not just as something that they enjoy, but something that they're actually here to offer the world in the form of some service or in the form of some product that can help other people as well.
And it's amazing that once you start exploring things like that, people usually are interested.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's a basic, you know, everyone has something that they were put on the planet to do. And one of the analogies I make for people is that every being on the planet, every form of life on the planet, is inherently and naturally equipped with what it needs to survive.